Welcome, Blind Spot Insider. Thank you for submitting questions for this episode. Here are the responses to your questions. First question is, I have a growing business. Do you have suggestions about how I can cost effectively protect what we do? So I guess from a risk mitigation up front, Matt, why don't you take that one?
So there's kind of two or three main areas at first that I just ask questions about. One is, what is your business model? How do you expect to make money? How are you currently making money? And how do you plan to make money in the future? That also kind of dovetails into what are your medium and long-term goals in this business? Are you looking for an exit? Are you planning on looking for investors to scale faster? Do you want to run this, you know, for the long haul and bootstrap it? Like what is your goal? What is your outlook on the marketplace? What are your products? Where's your value as a business? So that's kind of the first thing that I want to know. And that will inform what kind of, we call it hard IP. You know, what are the things, like, can you get any patents? Can you register any trademarks? Should you register any copyrights or take steps to protect those? So that's kind of bucket one. And then bucket two is what do your operations look like? Who is involved in the creation of the value in your business? Do you have like in this world, you know, I have a lot of software related startup clients. A lot of times development will get done by a third party developer. You'll work with somebody overseas or somebody domestically that also works, you know, has employees or contract employees overseas. So you get these parties that aren't the client contributing to the value in the business. You can also have vendors and customers, depending on what your business is. I mean, you know, you really need to figure out what are we doing first. But so vendors and customers also, their relationship with you, are they going to somehow own some IP that's mission critical to you if we don't do something? Because a lot of things that people need to think about are default rules for ownership. There are default rules for ownership of the different types of IP. Inventors, people who actually contribute to the ideation and the creation of the invention as you define it, they are the default owners of the interest in the patent. Authors, in most cases, of a work, that write a book, that create 2D graphics for you, etc., they are the presumed owners. And the trademark user of the person that actually uses the mark in connection with goods and services in commerce, they are the owner of the mark, absent a contractual change to that relationship. In all of those cases, you need to look at that in your business. That's one of the first things I do is say, hey, are you leaking IP anywhere? And someday you're going to have somebody with humongous leverage that you need them to assign rights that you thought you owned back to you, and you need that to go forward. You don't want to be in that position, right? So we try to identify what kind of operations risks do you have from an IP perspective? What kind of protection can we do for your actual business value? And then thirdly, is just sort of, are there market risks for you from an IP perspective? Meaning that, okay, you have this trademark that you love. Maybe we should look around and see if there are other people using a similar trademark that might get angry because they were using it first, right? Or you're going to come out with a competitive product to a patented product that already exists on the marketplace. Is that going to be a problem? You know, are you going to get sued for patent infringement, or do you have, you know, is your product different enough that you're not going to? So those kind of risks, just market risks, is something that we look at too. So back to your question is really just sit down and tell me about what you're doing first. And, you know, I kind of go after those three areas.
Okay, very good. Our second question was, I was asked to invest in a startup company that claims to have proprietary product and processes in their production. What's the best way for me to research and conduct due diligence to make sure the IP can be protected before I invest? Who's the right person on?
I mean, I have done this. So I have some business owners who buy small businesses and add them to their sort of portfolio. And so I do have clients that come to me directly and say, hey, I'm looking at this deal, and they have IP associated with it. Can you take a look and just let me know, are there any risks coming with this? Is there any value there? You can actually value IP. There are valuation experts, and they kind of get into, starts to get into the accounting realm. So I work with people if we need to bring in and do actual valuation of IP, and that can happen in the litigation space as well, in the damages context. But yeah, so, you know, one of the things that we do and that I do is look at a portfolio, find what I can, assess what they have, and you know, report it back. And sometimes you'll see that, hey, this person's trying to sell you a business, and it looks like they're in trouble because they kind of got really close to another business's IP, and they're coming after them. So, you know, is this really worth what they are telling you it's worth, right?
So there's ways either working with you, or can they look up on the USPTO to see whether there is something out there as part of their due diligence?
Yeah. So for any published patent applications, issued patents, any, federal trademark registrations, in many cases, state registrations, and, to some extent, the Copyright Office, there are public search facilities for that. So you can do some searching on your own. There are a lot of pitfalls to people that aren't IP professionals doing this every day that they can run into. You can not find things that I can find, just because I know how it works. Like maybe an assignment didn't get recorded, so there's no mention of the company that you're looking for in the record. We pay for a lot of tools in our business that deals with data aggregation and searching and things like that we use to do a good job, basically, and get the things that you might not be able to find by yourself. But there are certainly a lot of things that somebody can find. And I have clients that bring things to my attention all the time and say, hey, we're rolling out a new product. We were thinking about this, and, you know, we did some preliminary searching, and here's what we found. Is this a problem? And so that will turn into some opinion work for me to say, hey, here's what I'm seeing. Here's what you found. Here's what you're planning on doing. And here's what I think are, you know, the risks of your proposed plan of action. And maybe if there are risks that are of a concern, how you can mitigate those, or options, you know, your other options maybe.
Well, terrific.
I would say that the USPTO, the government websites for IP, are not user-friendly. Yeah. Proceed at your own risk. Plus there's IP that doesn't ever get recorded with the government, like a trade secret, or, you know, you own a copyright as of the creation of the work, but you may or may not have registered that copyright. So, you know, I think my answer to that question would be call an attorney and involve an attorney. You need somebody. Again, you're going to pay a fortune for a company. You know, it's worth a few hours of an attorney's time to help you navigate figuring out what's out there.
Yeah. So that's really a risk reward. Going, I can do it myself, but I have a greater risk, or I spend the money to reduce that risk by having a professional help me in my due diligence.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can you do it yourself? Right. Like, I don't know if I could do it myself. And I've been an IP litigator, you know, for decades. I would call Matt for some of the more, you know, trying to find patents that cover a business. It is not an easy system to navigate the USPTO, or the, you know, the Copyright Office's records. It's just not intended for lay people to be able to figure out what is and is not there. Unfortunately, it should be more user-friendly. Maybe we get there eventually, but we are not there right now.
Well, very good. So our third question is, how should I evaluate the different, quote, invention patent services that advertise on the internet? I like to invent things, but don't have the business skill to necessarily take them to market. And I did a research based on that question. There are a lot of people that pop up on Google that says, we do this, and kind of, this is a book we want to sell you, and this is kind of four different videos of how we do this. Kind of, how should we be thinking about that if there's a creative out there?
You get what you pay for. I'm going to let Matt really answer that question, but you get what you pay for.
Yeah. So a lot of the invention marketing companies, I'm going to call them, that's a lot of times kind of how they pitch themselves. A lot of those are, I have found, and I have had clients come to me after they've spent money with them. And by and large, I will say that anecdotally, they don't get very much out of them. There are companies and firms that do help people commercialize. There's companies that I work for locally, that work with locally, that can bring a product, an idea to market for you. They can, you know, they can do prototyping, they can spec manufacturing, they can even step in as just distributors, like all the way up to, like, we're basically contract manufacturing this product for you. So there are companies that do those sorts of things. But what I with most of the people that I meet in an initial kind of phone call, or, you know, if I'm out and about town, and I tell them that, you know, I have seen a lot of ideas, business ideas, invention ideas, and how groundbreaking and great the idea is does not seem to correlate to commercial success, I would say. It does a little bit, but I think 90%+ of the are you successful with your idea is, can you bring something to market and run a business? That is the hard part. And a lot of, I do, not a lot of people, occasionally I get the people who say, I have this idea for a product, it's a great idea, they want to put their money into getting a patent, and then they're going to go sell the patent. And I will say that is unlikely to happen. I've seen it happen. It does happen. If you have it's a great patent, it's a great product, and, you know, you've got the right connections, you can get that sold. But for the most part, that is not going to happen. If you want to, you need to show that you have sales. You need to show that you can generate revenue, that people want this thing, and that's what people buy from you. So again, you know, it kind of circles back to, nobody's going to do that hard work for you, and it's hard work bringing a product to market.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. And then I had one final question from a banker, and I'm going to read the question to you because it has a number of things that I would pick apart, but I want to have your framework. They have a bank customer that wants to take out a loan to fund a patent infringement suit. How to defend that? And the question is, as a lender, how should I think about this from how to support my client and that they are willing to, I guess, pledge that patent as collateral? I don't know how, from a banker perspective, from a collateral kind of look out there and how you're going to get repaid, but want to get your thought of how to size kind of the right loan size needed to be a plaintiff.
So, I mean, to be a plaintiff in a patent infringement case is extremely expensive, you know, scary numbers. The cases, you know, tend to run, and there are people who aggregate this data depending on the size of the case. If you find yourself arguing to a jury, you're going to have spent a couple years on average and $1 to $10+ million in attorney's fees. Yeah, it's really hard to do a full-blown patent litigation for less than $1 million. And patent litigation in particular is extraordinarily complex. There are a lot of moving parts. Those moving parts play together in ways that can be, you know, add complexity. Things like, you know, you are looking at, is the patent valid or not? And then you're looking at, is the patent infringed or not? And overarching all of this is, what do the patent claims mean, right? So when you're trying to determine kind of what's the best path forward in patent litigation, you're balancing the fact that in order to make the patent invalid, you want to say that somebody had been doing this before. You want the claims to be as broad as possible, right? In order to say that you didn't infringe, you want the claims to be as narrow as possible so that it would be harder for you to have done it. And so then you're trying to get the court to say what the claims mean in a way that balances all this. It's very complex. And the case law, you know, we haven't talked about sort of the added risk in IP of the ever-changing case law that, you know, I've been mid-case and had the Supreme Court drastically change the law in a way that took away, I had a case that was getting ready to go to trial where we had a laches defense, which is basically you waited too long to bring this case, and in the interim evidence was lost. And so that prejudiced us, and your claim should be dismissed because of that. That was a defense in patent cases until 2016, when the Supreme Court said, no, it's not. And I was actively involved in a case where that was an active defense that was a solid defense that we had a summary judgment motion pending on. So, you know, there's always kind of that risk. I don't know how, as a banker, without somebody as a lawyer specializing in IP, evaluating, how you would ever assure yourself that this was a good investment. There are litigation funding companies now that are becoming more prolific. I think if you'd asked a lot of us 10 years ago, we were a little skeptical of them, yeah. but they're becoming more mainstream. The law has caught up with how they work. And so what litigation funding companies do is effectively the plaintiff, the potential plaintiff, provides evidence of their case to the litigation funding company, who then makes that determination of, is the risk worth the benefit, right? Like, we're going to give this certain amount of money, but we've looked at the case, we've looked at the facts, we've looked at the evidence, we've looked at the law, and we believe that this case is likely to prevail, and therefore it's worth it for us to front the, you know, $1 to $10 million for this case to be tried, because we think we're going to get, you know, X number of dollars on the back end. And so to do that, they're looking at balancing all of these things. You know, what does the infringement case look like? Are there issues with invalidity that we need to be concerned about? Are there issues with enforceability, that you did something wrong with respect to the patent office or defrauded the patent office? Is there a strong enough damages case that's going to support spending $1 to $10 million on litigation? You know, because the worst thing you can have is a case where somebody spent, yeah, I've seen these cases where people combined attorney's fees are $10+ million. And by the time you get to trial, the damages are max $1 million. That is a whole lot of money that has been spent by companies to fight about something that in retrospect, they probably shouldn't have been fighting about. So those companies have people on staff who are experts, who do this all the time, who are able to make these analyses and decide if this is a good investment for them. If you're a banker who somebody is going to, you know, give you their patent as collateral, you've got to have somebody involved who can help you do that. That is just not something you can do as a layperson, I think.
Yeah.
They operate like investment funds with lawyer underwriters, basically. And then they'll say, here, we'll give you this much money to do the case, and we get half of it or whatever on the back end of your recovery.
So they develop a portfolio of litigation
yeah.
that they're funding
yep.
to kind of work through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be like $50, $100 million funds that do this. That's all they do.
Like the corollary for us, for me as a litigation attorney at a law firm, would be taking a case on contingency. I would not take a patent. I have a hard time constructing in my mind the patent infringement case that would walk in the door that I would take on a contingency basis, which would effectively mean our firm is going to front the money and take the risk
yeah.
because they are just so inherently risky and uncertain. Even a strong patent infringement case is going to have inherent risks and uncertainty that, you know, I have a hard time imagining that I'd ever put my money or my firm's money up. So, you know, take that for what you will. It works for the investment companies because that's what they do. That's their business model. They're investing in order to get this return on investment. That's the whole business model. But for a bank, for a law firm, I think that's a trickier proposition.
And I would add that the way that question is worded, at least it shouldn't be pointed out that it is very common for especially large banks to make securitized loans based on and take security interest in an IP portfolio. So if you go on the trademark website, for example, or the patent website and look at the assignment records, you will often see this company owns a patent and then there'll be a security interest and a security interest and a release of a security interest. And that's funding that's partially secured by IP. So banks do make loans based on the value of IP, and they'll be, you know, there are sophisticated banks that may even do this in-house, or they have a, you know, a third party that does the valuation that supports the underwriting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from a standpoint of, can you make a loan secured by IP? Absolutely, it's super common. But when you throw the litigation in there, it's a
lot easier to value a patent than it is to value a patent infringement litigation.
Yeah, agreed.
Hope this was insightful. If you have a friend or associate that would benefit from hearing these responses, please have them sign up to become a Blind Spot Insider. We appreciate you being on this journey with us to create more I've Got This victory.